Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast where we exist.
Yeah, and we give you writing tips and life tips and dog tips.
Or maybe we give you nothing. It's up to you. But I'm Carrie Jones, and this is my husband,
Sean Farrar.
And that's it, man. I don't really feel like talking about ourselves. I don't feel like being like, I'm an international best-selling novelist.
Well, now you're just talking about yourself.
I know. It just seems uncool. But we've got cred, all right?
We're just two regular people.
With some cred.
Trying to pay the bills.
What? So we don't know why we do this podcast. Hey, welcome to the podcast.
Did you start that already?
I did. I'm trying to be efficient.
Well, I was still turning my phone on silent. Holy Moses.
You are still doing that. But I'm efficient.
You are a fish.
Oh.
Ant.
I am not a fishing ant.
No, you're not. You're a fish ant.
That would be a cool animal, though.
I think most ants swim anyway. I mean, they're perfectly capable of floating on top of the water.
Just like me. So our random thought today,
everybody floats once they bloat.
And I can bloat like
that rhymes. Once you bloat, you float.
So sorry. So if you've never listened to us before, I apologize. We start every podcast with a random thought, and
I think they just had it. Once you bloat, you float.
That was not. Our random thought today comes from a writer on Medium called Iva Ursano. And their post is called, in humor / people, is 13 epic one-liners to shut down a rude person. If none of these work, you're dealing with Satan.
I think I just had one myself.
If you bloat, you float.
Look somebody dead in the eyes and be like, if you bloat, once you bloat, you float.
That's so wrong. So wrong. All right. So I don't think that some of these are very like new, because I've personally seen Sarah Silverman, the comedian, use some of these on Twitter when people are mean to her.
Oh.
So, and I kind of remember our parents and us talking about this as children. So number one is, when someone is mean to you, is to say,
do you need a hug, honey?
Do you need a hug?
Oh, throw a sweetheart in there if you're from the South.
Sweetheart.
Do you need a hug, sweetheart?
Sweetheart, do you need a hug? Like, I can't even imagine someone saying that to me, honestly.
Okay.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh!
No, I'm not supposed to read ahead, but these next two are, I don't
Why
agree
did with... you read ahead?
I just don't agree with them whatsoever.
Okay, so someone says to you, hey, you did a cursory job on that article. And so then you're supposed to reply,
looks like you're having a bad day. But I don't think that's, I think that's like telling somebody that's really anxious and stressed out to relax.
It is. That's why it's a good one-line comeback, right? But like, these aren't about being nice. These are about shutting down a rude person.
I know,
person.
But that's a fueler right there.
In our household.
Yeah, fucker, I'm having a bad day. You want to get into
no.
it?
No.
You know what I mean? Right there.
You were the, we need a little jar to be the first one to pop the F-bomb in a podcast.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay, the next one is, did someone pee in your cornflakes this morning?
See, I think that one doesn't work just because it's so stupid. And if you're going to say it, it's got to be piss.
And they said, while this may not calm them down, it certainly might make them giggle a bit and realize they were, in fact, being rude.
Possibly. But you got to really know your audience.
Yeah.
You know?
Another one is...
This one, I think, I like a little bit.
Okay.
Sorry. Do I know you? Carrie says that one to me all the time.
The point is that they're supposed to recognize that they're being a disrespecting punk face if you say something like that to them, right?
Right.
And here's another really, 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 really mean one. I could never imagine saying this. Ready?
The mean ones are the best. You must be a bundle of joy to be around.
So we'll have a link to all of these. And I'm sorry, I just keep imagining, like, where there's a couple of people in our lives because of our profession who get mad at us. And I just keep, like, whenever we do anything that's not super biased towards them, basically. And so, like, I keep imagining saying this to them, like, hey, come back when you're nicer.
Like, and it's so yeah. Weird. I think most people are going to be like, okay, see ya, never.
Or, sorry, I'm allergic to negativity. I like that one.
I do like that one. You skipped one.
Well, that wasn't very nice. That's boring.
I know, but I like the follow-ups.
Oh,
like... Because I don't like the follow-ups.
Okay, so according to her, you could follow that up with, why would you talk to me like that? Have I done something to hurt you or make you angry? Let's try this again.
No, Mom. I'm still mad at you.
I honestly think that if someone said that to me, even though it was said with empathy, if I was so mad that they had to say that to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard to imagine.
It is so hard to imagine.
Like, I kind of feel like that would just... incense me.
I think the majority of these are fuelers.
Yeah, man.
Not shutter downers, but.
I can give you the number of a great therapist. It's definitely not a super supportive one.
No.
Although, maybe. I don't know.
That's kind of leading, too.
Yeah.
If somebody said that to me, I'd be like, oh, really? So you see a therapist and you think I'm being the butthead?
One of my favorite ones is her last one, which is, I hope you have the day you deserve.
Well, that's just a negative comment in and of itself.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I hope you have the day you deserve. Okay.
What's wrong with you? Somebody pissing your cornflakes is
horrible. You're so mean. So mean. I hope you have the day you deserve, Sean.
Oh, I do, every day.
So the actual podcast that's not supposed to be random is about negative spaces and white spaces and, like, how it's okay to look at things that way. So we have to explain what the hell that means,
right?
Yeah, mostly. But also art and also life. Ready? Wendy McNaughton on her Substack, which is called
Draw Together,
talked about negative space this week. And she wrote,
I'll read it. Negative space performs many functions. It focuses our eyes on a subject. It moves our eyes around the drawing or it keeps them still. It allows for visual space / room to breathe. And sometimes it gives a subject an extra layer of meaning.
And then she shows this logo called for FedEx, right? I was like, the logo called FedEx, which sounds like a band or something. Or a really literary novel. So in the FedEx logo, if you stare at it enough, you eventually notice that within that logo, there is an arrow, right? And you can see this in the podcast notes. In between the letter E and the letter X, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that hidden symbol in the logo, it, like, focuses your attention on the negative white space of the logo, the space between the letters, right?
Oh.
So it's subtle. Wendy didn't see it for years. I don't know if Shawnee's ever noticed it before.
I have, because I usually point to it when the dogs are barking and be like, you're supposed to be driving that way. Stop parking in front of our house.
He gets cranky. So when you see the arrow formed by the negative space, Wendy says, you can't unsee it. And in this case, would you like to continue the quote, Shawnee?
It's
right there. Right there, baby. Right there. Designer Lyndon Leader.
Oh, in this case, designer Lyndon Leader uses negative space to create an image that informs the meaning of the subject. An arrow takes your package from here to there. Very cleverly.
So the negative space, right, has societal implications, too, if you think about it in a bigger way. And she talks about that and about how sociologist W.E. Du Bois' work, Data Portraits, Visualizing Black America, which shows in data and visualization what was and what wasn't going on. Like, one of the really great things that he had was a list of the top occupations in, like, or a bunch of occupations in America at the time, right?
Yes.
And what Black Americans were doing and the percentage employed. And they were all in
Labor?
Yes. Labor. Like there was like 57% labor or something, right. Agricultural or something like that. And then like no doctor, no lawyer, like not enough to make get onto that graph. Mm-hmm. And so the negative space of that showed like how there was an occupational disconnect going on. Yeah, exactly. Thank you for that word. So, right? So, in writing, we call this negative space, right? White space, which seems weird to say after talking about Dubois. But that's what
we gotta claim everything.
I know exactly right. But like the white space on a page is basically where there isn't words, right? So a negative space in art would be like where there isn't an obvious structure,
right?
And the white space in writing is where there are no words.
But not literally no words.
Literally no words.
You mean like spaces? Between,
yes.
Really?
Yes. The space between words, the space after paragraphs, the space at the beginning of a chapter, at the end of the chapter, the space like in a poem, there's tons, depending on the poet, there can be tons of white space. Right here. This is all white space.
I got you.
All right. So how you writers use white space impacts readers' experiences because it focuses the reader's attention on shorter words and paragraphs, and it gives a visual break, especially when it's at the end of the scene or a chapter. A new chapter almost always begins on a new page, right?
Yes.
And there's a reason for that, is to let the last bit of the last chapter resonate. It's to signal, hey, Rockstar, you just read a chapter, woot! Like that, right?
Time for another potato chip.
So how... What?
Doesn't everybody snack while they read?
No. You get your finger grease on the book pages or on the Kindle screen or whatever.
You just use one hand.
OMG. All right, so Sean can say that because he has monster hands. Like, he can hold a book in one hand. I can't do that, so... You're speaking from your own experience. I can't read one-handed. So how do you create white space if you're an author? One.
Make your sentences shorter. Vary those babies.
Two.
Make your paragraphs shorter. Vary those babies, too.
Three.
In articles, make lists. Hey, I do that all the time.
I know, baby. And four.
Make sure in dialogue that each person speaking gets their own paragraph. Don't embed the dialogue.
No embedding. Right?
That's right.
So, and that just means like you don't have a big block of text before and after and all around where the person's speaking just kind of like pull. Like the guy who writes Game of Thrones always does that. Like he, like the dialogue is like somewhere in the middle of the paragraph, right? That's what he does. Instead, pull it out like its own separate paragraph. So, gotcha. Why is negative space good in our lives, too?
Yes.
So last week on our blog, I talked about how boredom is actually a pretty awesome thing. But basically, negative space and being bored, it just allows us to have the silence, to have creativity, and to replenish and incubate ideas and thoughts.
Very true.
Very true.
That's called shower time.
Shower time. Like Hammer Time, like that old, when was that song, 80s or 90s? Hammer Time?
Yeah, I remember that song.
Shower Time.
Shower Time.
Boom, boom.
But I mean, I think it's almost indisputable fact that people have the strangest thoughts in the shower, like the best ones.
You sounded creepy when you said
it. I don't mean anything creepy whatsoever. But a lot of times just something will pop back into your mind, won't it? Like
you have epiphanies.
It's almost like dreaming. Like an unresolved issue.
That's what my whole blog post was about last week, babes.
Dreaming or showers?
About how the brain works and how when you have that quiet time without the input, you go into a different kind of mental state.
Yeah.
And that mental state allows you to have epiphanies, to have like your system reset, to make connections that you can't make if you're constantly bombarded by input.
Gotcha.
Yeah. If you had read the post, you'd...
I did. I just wanted to hear you explain it again.
Liar.
Make sure you remembered what you wrote.
Oh!
Because you write a lot. Dog tip for life. Why are you looking at? I didn't realize you'd hit the button.
Man. I said ready, go.
My head was turned.
No, it wasn't. I saw your.
I don't think you actually said go. I think you just like ready, set, and then you drifted off.
I did not.
But I wasn't watching. It's all my fault. Anyways, I was trying to get into a nice white negative space where I could resolve some issues.
Once our dog
I pulled both of our dogs
about
this subject.
Okay.
Since they're both sleeping. They're both relaxing.
Relaxing.
And they said, this is 100% positive truth.
Really? 100% positive truth?
We live about 65% of our lives in this white space. When you think we're sleeping... but we're really just chilling and trying to resolve issues.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they both said their issue is how to get snacks.
Oh, no.
In new ways. And at first I thought they were full of crap.
You already said the F word today.
But then I was like, no, they're not. Because they keep getting snacks out of carry every day. By the multitudes.
That's not true.
So they must be coming up with new ways. Tricker.
It's so true. It's not true.
And they're like,
so true.
That's how we resolve our issues.
Oh.
And they only got one issue.
Snacks.
Snacks.
Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. The music was... available via the Creative Commons, and it's called Summer Spliff Broke for Free, or Broke for Free by Summer Spliff.
No, I think it's Summer Spliff by Broke for Free.
Both of those work to me.
What?
They're
either way.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of gives you like a lackadaisical surfer attitude.
Yeah, man. And also our podcast notes are where, Shawnee? Do you know?
On the pod. No, I don't know.
Our podcast notes are on Living Happy on Substack and also CarrieJonesBooks.blog and also potentially wherever you're listening to this podcast.
Like, I'm sorry, I failed there.
You're frozen.
It makes me wonder if we have like a couple of sites out there we totally forgot about.
We probably did.
Anyways, thank you for listening and have a great day.
And like, share, and subscribe and all that stuff
you're supposed to
say.
Horrible podcasters.
We are. All the bots training on us are going to fail.
Oh, well, that's what we're doing. We're setting AI up for failure. That's our secret goal.